Hello, and welcome to the next episode of the Cordex Digital Shipping Podcast. Today, we welcome Clara Chen, Founding Managing Partner of Singapore Deep Tech Alliance. Clara, welcome.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for having me today. Very glad to be here to share about some of our experiences. Yeah.
Excellent. Very excited to have you. Before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about what Singapore Deep Tech Alliance is? What do you guys do? What are you about?
Great. So as the name suggests, Singapore Deep Tech Alliance is an alliance of partners coming together to do something meaningful and impactful. So what we mean by that is we bring together entrepreneurs with the passion, with the drive, and we bring together technologies from research institutions. Now, millions of dollars have been spent on these technologies before they are patented. So we take them out of the research institutions and we bring together corporate partners with the market access and market opportunities. And then we bring in venture capital money as well. So with all these in the alliance, we strive to create sustainable industry 4.0 companies to solve environmental problems.
Wow. Yep. That's a lot. We're going to unpack all of that. Before we get to the questions, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, how you got involved with SDTA? Apologies. Tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, sure. So for myself, I came from a mix of background, quite diverse. In 2004, I started my career with Channel News Asia.
Okay.
And I was in the media industry for a good 8 years with, not only Channel News Asia, but Fox, Viacom. So my role was in commercial operations. I would do the heavy lifting, the groundwork, and, go and sell and, recruit people and build a team in Southeast Asia markets. So half my time was spent around, KL, Bangkok, Jakarta, and so on. So I did that for 8 years, and I decided since I'm building new business units for large companies as an intrapreneur, before the word was even, established, why don't I come out and build my own companies? So in 2012, I left and started my own marketing technology startup. The first one failed, and then the second one very quickly. Within 2 years, we were a part of the Unilever Foundry, the first cohort in Singapore.
Okay.
And naturally, Unilever, we work with the different brands in Unilever, and they help us to set up offices around Southeast Asia, North Asia, and in Latin America, where we were operating out of Mexico. So we did that for a number of years and we got acquired by a Nasdaq Stockholm listed marketing group.
Okay.
So then I have to fully vest my shares. After 2 years, I decided, okay, I don't want to be a part of a large marketing group.
Yeah.
So I decided to, hand over and leave. And while I was taking a break, it was at a time where Enterprise Singapore signed a contract with an accelerator in Shanghai called Xnode.
Okay.
To send Singapore startups into China. So I joined in 2019, I joined Xnode to set up the China Singapore Innovation Launchpad, build a team here. But while doing that, in the meantime, I realized there is an untapped market for us to do deep tech venture building here in Singapore. And a year later, we created a spin out from Xnode called the Singapore Deep Tech Alliance. And that's where we are today.
Fantastic. It's a great story. All right, let's go ahead and get started. So learning about SDTA, one of the things you mentioned in a call we had earlier is about the 9-month Venture Builder program that you all offer. Can you tell us a little bit about this program, what it offers, and what people can expect to get out of it?
Great. So the 9-month Venture Builder really is a lot longer than what typical venture builders do, because we are talking about deep tech. And what deep tech essentially means is the technology is not even a product. It's lying on the shelf. It's a patent. So a lot of work has to be done to bring the technology out to market and build into a product. So that's why the program is a lot longer. But what we do in the first, the 9-month program is broken up into 3 phases of 3 months each. And in each phase, we have different milestones. In the first phase, is about team building. So the founders will join the program and they will meet other founders and they will, get together, try to work on something and then they'll break up again. So they try to find the fit. At the end of 3 months, the milestones will be, to find a team that fits and also a business case.
Okay.
So those are the milestones for the first phase. Now, the second phase is about scoping a proof of concept, a POC, with our corporate partner,
okay,
using the business case they have built in the first phase. And then scoping the POC and also doing that POC to validate the solution actually has a market potential first. A lot of these technologies, when they come from research institutions, they are great, you know. However, there is no market potential. And that's what we're trying to validate in the second phase. So that's phase two of the program. And once those milestones are met, in the last phase is when we prepare for fundraising. So the program will end with a demo day in the fourth month. The fourth month of the last phase.
Okay.
But the first 3 months is really to prepare for what we call selling.
Mm-hmm.
So fundraising, getting the pitch right, you know, telling the right stories and so on. And then at the end of the program, we will end with a large demo day where we invite public and private sector stakeholders and investors to, you know, celebrate the completion of the program.
Excellent. So a few follow-ups to that. So if there's a young entrepreneur that's looking for a program like this, how do they find you? What would they be searching for on Google to find you guys?
So that's a good question. So what we do is we do a lot of social media marketing.
Okay.
Of course, we have a lot of content that's out there. But for the founders to get access to these, they probably have to subscribe to certain of our community, our network newsletters.
Okay.
And all that. They can follow our LinkedIn page as well. But essentially, what we do online is really to showcase the lives of the founders.
Mm-hmm.
Who are in our program, and also the problems that we're trying to tackle. Right now, in fact, we are running a recruitment recruitment campaign. To get new founders to join our new cohort. Our new cohort is starting mid to end of August for a 9-month period. So right now we are recruiting for founders who are keen to join us to build deep tech companies to solve environmental problems.
Okay.
And the advantage is, unlike other venture builders, we don't need our founders to commit to full time.
Okay.
For the first two phases of the program, we allow them to join as part-time. And once they are validated with their team and the solution, then for the last phase is when the transition period, because to get funding, you need to be full-time.
Absolutely.
So that's when they start to leave their jobs and have some transition into a full-time entrepreneur.
So deep tech is a fairly broad topic. So I understand you're focusing more on companies and use cases that can benefit the environment. What are there any specific industries that you help these founders go into? Are there ones that you have more experience with, or is it just, is there a preference?
That's a good question as well. So the industries, in this case, deep tech, as you mentioned, is very broad and it goes across different industries. So rather than looking at the verticals, of course, at top of my mind, there are some verticals that we'll be very clean in, which is manufacturing, the medical healthcare industry. And, but we look at more the enablers. So
okay.
I guess it's more horizontals in that sense.
Okay.
So industry 4.0 can be basically advanced manufacturing, but it goes across even to the farms.
Mm-hmm.
So industry 4.0 has hit the farms as well, and the maritime industry. So although we don't focus on those particular industries, but there will be crossovers for these horizontals.
Absolutely. So let's move on to the founders, the type of people that you're wanting to recruit, the people that would get the most value out of this. So the first question I have is, does a founder or someone that joins your program, do they have to have a business idea in mind already? Can they be a year into their venture creation? Where do they have to be in their entrepreneurial journey?
Oh, we welcome founders with no experience as founders.
Okay.
And we welcome experienced founders as well. So the idea is we bring together a mix of talents in one founding team.
Okay.
And ideally we have a team made up of a CEO, a CTO,
mm-hmm.
and a third co-founder who is either from a COO or a CMO background.
Okay.
So ideally this would be the team. Or of course sometimes we have teams larger than this as well, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And the CTO, naturally, they have to have experience in actually building a product.
Okay.
So they can come from engineering background, but they can also be, you know, postdocs. We've had CTOs who come from, you know, the academia yeah. as well. For the CEO, we would require someone who is a bit more experienced, at least, you know, 5 years of experience in a particular industry, because they will be exposed to industry needs and problem statements. And we are a bit more flexible with the third co-founder, COO or CMO background. But the although this is the these are the criteria that we set out, but in the first cohort last year, mm-hmm. typically on average, our founders have 10 to 15 years of industry experience.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, some of our teams, you know, for instance, one of the team, they are in wastewater testing. Mm-hmm. So heavy metal detection in wastewater. And the founder himself, the CEO, he has 25 years of experience in an automotive group. He was last the MD of that group.
Oh, wow.
And he left his job to join us on a full-time basis to build, you know, impactful companies.
Wow.
So those are the kind of profiles that we have.
Excellent. So the main takeaway is you're looking to build a team of about three people. They do need to have some experience with regards to building products, managing teams. Excellent. But they don't have to have an idea in mind already. They can come to you and say, I want to build something. Let's figure it out together.
Yes, exactly. And the advantage that the founders have is that we put together, you know, a library of technologies mm-hmm. for them to experiment with. So when we put like, you know, 80 founders in a room with those technologies and problem statements, they tend to gravitate to certain technologies and problem statements they are familiar with. And that's how they start to form teams.
Mm-hmm.
Just to also mention that we are also open to founders who are new. They are new to the industry, don't okay. have experience. And we have had a lot of successes with those as well when they couple with someone who's experienced.
Excellent. I can imagine. So for the last 3 months, you mentioned that this is when you help with the fundraising part of the ventures. What exactly do you do with this part? Are you just making introductions? Do you actually have capital that you invest in? How does this work?
Yeah, so there are two parts to this. We have a separate fund management company mm-hmm. That does seed investments, but it's not a part of the program company okay. because of you know, conflict of interest.
Of course.
So, but the program side, we will prepare the teams in terms of getting them ready for fundraising, in terms of, you know, getting their pitch right, mm-hmm. Putting them in touch with, you know, the industry, and facilitating those conversations. So that's what we do to help them with fundraising. In fact, in April, when we did our first cohort demo day, mm-hmm. We had three teams that presented to a lot of investors. One of the teams already received two term sheets to date. And one of the teams, they landed a sales contract with another corporate partner. And the other one is landed a prototyping contract. So we really look at getting something tangible out of this whole program. Yeah.
Excellent. That's really cool. Must be really exciting for these new founders. So you mentioned that April was your first cohort. And you're starting your second cohort in August, so not too long from now. How many people do you have in a cohort? Do you cap it at a certain amount? Yeah.
We are looking at between, at the start, mm-hmm. Looking at between 80 to 100 to start with.
Okay.
And then throughout the 9-month program, based on, you know, the benchmark that we have last year, about 60% will drop out throughout the 9-month program because
okay.
Either they midway, they found the fallout is the most common thing,
yeah.
You know, or they decided, okay, the product is not validated and I want to go back to my full-time job. I don't want to commit full-time.
Yeah.
So to being a founder. So 60% will drop off at the end. So we're expecting to create 10 venture teams at the end of the 9 months.
Okay.
That will be like about 30 founders.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's still a lot of people. That's still a good percentage. So before we move on to the next thing, when the founders do have to make that decision to actually leave their full-time job and do their venture full-time, I'm sure that's quite a bit of an emotional journey for some people. How do you help them along with this? Do you offer some kind of, I don't want to say like therapy support, but you know, I'm sure there's a lot of emotions. So how do you handle these things?
Yeah, you're right. So we actually do that. Yes.
Oh, really?
<As well>.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, just being in a community, you know, that there's a lot of support as well for them. But most importantly, the program is created to reduce the risk of all parties involved. So it's not just the founders, right?
Mm-hmm.
Although we have a curriculum, we bring in their customers, investors, and of course the government support, policy policymaker support as well. So those are what will reduce the risk for them. But at the same time, it's only after they have validated their founding team and the solution that they will need to decide to convert to full-time. So that's the taking away the risk of being a founder. But at the same time, we reduce the risk for all the other parties, like the corporate partners as well. So a lot of corporates, as you know, when they work with startups, they are very hesitant because of the risk involved and, you know, reputational damage if things doesn't go well. So we take the risk away for them. So, you know, we have had teams last year in the first cohort where there was one POC project with a corporate partner, which went well, but the team broke up. So what we do is, you know, because it's already validated, the POC went well, you know, we will continue again this cohort with the corporate partner, but we recruit a new team to take it over. So that's how we kind of reduce the risk for everyone.
So in that scenario, does SDTA own the idea, the IP for this?
No, we don't.
Okay.
We don't. The IP fully resides with the people who invented it.
Okay.
So background IP with the technology will sit with the research institutions.
Okay.
But while creating the POC, there will be foreground IP that's filed, and that's owned by the inventor. So if the founders created it, of course, they will own it fully.
Mm-hmm.
But if the founders work with a corporate to co-create, then of course, they will jointly own that.
Okay, understood. So, moving on now, in the maritime industry specifically, the Singapore government is very involved in startups and new venture building. There's a lot of programs where they can give out grants, they can give out guidance and support to companies like us at Cordex that are SMEs or new ventures that are wanting to bring digital applications to the maritime space. And that's something that's quite unique to Singapore that you don't see everywhere else. I know you work in a lot of other industries. So could you tell me a little bit about how SDTA leverages support from the Singapore government? Are there specific institutions that you all work with? Yeah, what kind of support are you able to get from the Singapore government?
Sure. So we are a part of, well, I guess we are a complete private entity.
Okay.
So we have, you know, I guess we have a fund management company, which is separate. But at the same time, you know, we are supported by different government agencies. In the case of Enterprise Singapore, we are one of the accelerators and venture builder that's under their Startup SG program. So yes, we get some support from Enterprise Singapore operationally. But at the same time, we also work with different government agencies like, you know, PUB, you know, A-Star. There are different grants and innovation vouchers that we tap on behalf half of our startups, but that's for the startups. That's not for us.
Yes.
Yep.
And just to clarify, is this open to anyone globally, or is it specifically people that are living in Singapore?
These companies which will be applying for the grants, they need to have 30% Singaporean or Singaporean PR shareholding to meet that criteria of you know, SME.
Yes. And what about people that want to join your 9-month venture building program? Do they need to be in Singapore as well?
No. We are open to anyone from anywhere in the world.
Oh, wow.
And in fact, when they decide to apply to our program, when we are doing a lot of interviews now, there's a lot of talents from different parts of the world, and we, you know, regardless of their nationality, if we feel that there's a potential for them to come here and build companies, we will help. We will give them a letter of recommendation for the entree pass, and facilitate that process.
Oh, fantastic! Yeah. That's really cool. So, really appreciate you being here today. It's been great to learn more about you and about all the awesome work you're doing at SDTA. Is there anything you would like to say to the new cohort that's going to be starting not that long now, or anyone that's maybe looking to join next year's cohort?
Absolutely. So, you know, there's never the right time to be a founder. That's why we allow people to experiment and try on a part-time basis with us. But at the same time, we are not just, you know, open to founders. And if there are a lot of people who are interested in innovation, but they are not ready to become entrepreneur, we welcome them to join our alliance as members as well. There is no charge. The idea of having this extended membership is really for people from the innovation ecosystem to network, and hopefully something meaningful will come out.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Clara, for joining, and look forward to seeing all the progress that you guys make in the coming months.
Thank you, Leo. Really appreciate the time today.
Thanks.